This week's parsha is Parshas Dvarim, and we will start our shiur on chapter 1, pasuk number 3, but we will really focus our shiur on pasuk number 5. Pasuk number 3 says, "Vahi barboim shana." It was in the 40th year, b'ashti asar chodesh, in the 11th month, meaning in the month of Shvat, b'echod lachodesh, on the first of the month, meaning Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Diber Moshe Bnei Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the Jewish people, the children of Israel, Kechoil Asher Tzivo Hashem Oisoy Aleim, according to everything that Hashem commanded him to them. And the Pasuk number Dalet explains when did he speak, Achra Yakoisoy Esicho Melech Amori Asher Yishev B'Cheshbon, so after he had smitten Tzicho in the king of Amori that was in Cheshbon, Ves Oig Melech HaBashon, and Oig, the king of Bashan, Asher Yoshev Bashtores Bedrei, that is residing in Ashtores in Adrei. Now we're going to Pasuk number 5, which is going to be the focus of our class. Be'ever Yarden, in the other side of the Jordan, Be'eretz Moav, in the land of Moav, Hoil Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu began, Be'eres HaToyro HaZois, explaining or translating this Torah, Leimor saying. We know that the book of Dvarim is called Mishneh Torah. Mishneh Torah means a repetition of the Torah, and the main reason for it is because of what Pasuk number 5 says, that in Ever HaYarden Be'eretz Moav, that in the other side of the Jordan, the land of Moav, Hoil Moshe Be'eretz HaTorah Zois, that Moshe Rabbeinu began translating or explaining this Torah. But technically, that is not the first thing that Moshe Rabbeinu does in this parsha. The first thing that Moshe Rabbeinu does before he gets to interpret the Torah is give words of rebuke to the Jewish people. As it's written in the beginning of Ele HaDvarim Asher Diber Moshe Kol Yisrael, these are the words that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to all the Jewish people, and then the Pasuk lists a number of places and Rashi explains what is going on. And Rashi says that because of the honor of the Jewish people, it is improper to rebuke them openly. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu decided to give them a veiled rebuke in order for them to be reminded of the places where they transgressed the word of Hashem and caused anger to Hashem. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is just hinting to them, these are the places that you did something wrong, therefore they will be rebuked and they will come to repent. And only after this it's written that it was in the 40th year, on the 11th month, on the first month, in the other side of the Jordan, Moshe Rabbeinu started to interpret the Torah saying. Rashi on Pasuk Gimel, on the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day, Rashi asks, why is it important to write the date? So Rashi says that is to teach you that Moshe Rabbeinu only rebuked them right before his death. Meaning that since Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die the 7th of Adar, so comes out that 37 days before Moshe Rabbeinu died, he started rebuke them. And from here you learn that you should rebuke a person close to your death. So we have a couple questions. One, if this is called Mishneh Torah, which means a repetition of the Torah, then why not start explaining the mitzvahs that is written on Parshas Shoftim and Kisetzeh, where there are mostly repetition of the mitzvahs of the Torah, instead of starting with the words of rebuke? And the second question is that if it is like Rashi, that a person should try always to rebuke as close to the death of the person as possible, then it should have been reversed the order. We should have had Parshas Shoftim Kisetzeh, where most of the laws are given in those parshas first, and then Moshe Rabbeinu should write down Ela Advarim, the words of rebuke, because like that it will be even closer to his death. In other words, since according to Rashi it's important always to rebuke a person as close to the death as possible because of the reasons that Rashi mentioned, then why interrupt the rebuke and then give the Torah? It should first give most of the mitzvahs written in the book of Devarim, And then he should start rebuking the people. Like that will be as close to his death as possible. Sefer Morav HaShemesh asks this question, and he says that what Moshe Rabbeinu did in this parsha is teaching us an important concept. It's teaching us that before you are going to learn Torah, you are required to do tshuva. You are required to repent. And he quotes Rabbi Yaakov Yitzchak Melublin that anybody who thinks that he could approach to learn Torah without first repenting on his previous sins, he's coming to learn without a feeling of repentance of his misdeeds, then his learning is not accepted by Hashem, and actually Hashem is angry that he learns, because he says that anybody who comes to learn without first repenting fits the category of what is written in Tehillim chapter 50, Pasuk 16. There it says, Ularash Omar Olekim, to the evil person, to the wicked, Hashem says, Malachol Saper Chuki, why are you recounting my decrees? Vetisa Brisi Al Picha, why are you bearing my covenant on your lips? Meaning that even though this Rasha is learning Torah, Hashem is upset that he is learning Torah. Hashem is upset that he is bringing Hashem's covenant to his mouth. Why is he so upset? Next pasuk continues, V'ato soneisa musar, and you hate rebuke, discipline. V'atashlach dvorai acharecho, and you threw my words behind you. Meaning that you didn't appreciate rebuke and you threw my words behind me. So therefore, he says, you see clearly from this pasuk that the only way for you to learn Torah is if you like rebuke. Why? Because since rebuke causes you to do tshuva, then you are no longer a rasha. And he says, all it is required is for you to actually think of tshuva. You don't have to do the full process of tshuva. You're required to do a hirur tshuva. All you're required to do is thoughts of repentance. You're required to mentally commit yourself to change from your evil ways. And he brings a proof to that hirur tshuva automatically will change from you being a rasha to a tzaddik, because the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Memtes Amud Beis 49b says that if somebody betrothes a woman, al menas shani tzaddik, on the condition that I'm a righteous person, so the Gemara says, afilu rasha gomur, even if he's a consummate wicked person, is a 100% wicked, Mekudesh, she's still betrothed to him, she's still engaged to him. The Gemara asks a question, why is that so? He clearly made a condition that she is only engaged to him if he's a righteous person. And we know that he is an evil person. Then the engagement should be off, because she did not accept an evil person. She only wanted to get married to somebody who is a righteous person, and he misrepresented himself as being righteous. And the Gemara answers, we are afraid, Shemo Hiror Tshuva Bedatoi, because maybe at that moment when he said those words, he had thoughts of repentance. He had thoughts that he's going to repent completely. And even though up to this point he was a Rasha Gomer, he was a completely evil person, but maybe exactly when he said the words to the woman, Arayat Mekudeshes, that you are betrothed to me on the condition that I'm a righteous person, he thought of doing tshuva of repentance, and the thoughts himself would automatically change him from a rasha to a tzaddik, change his situation of being a completely evil person to a righteous person. Therefore, even if he's a completely evil person, she is still Mekudesha, she is still betrothed to him. So we see that even thoughts of repentance changes your status from evil to righteous. Therefore, says Sefer Morav HaShemesh, since the Pasuk in Tehillim tells you that a Rasha is not allowed to learn Torah, and since Moshe Rabbeinu in Mishneh Torah wanted to teach Torah to the Jewish people, to repeat and explain the Torah to the Jewish people, he had to make sure that they are not in the category of Rasha. They are not in the category of evildoers. how do you make sure that a person is not in the category of evildoer? The only way to make sure is to rebuke him. As the Pasuk in Tehillim says, that you have not accepted rebuke, therefore you are a Rasha. But Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the Jewish people are going to accept rebuke, therefore he decides to rebuke them before he gives them the interpretation of the Torah, before he sits down to learn Torah with them. Once he rebukes them, they are going to have a Hirur Tshuva. If they have a Hirur Tshuva, now Moshe Rabbeinu could start explaining the Torah again. Therefore, it was required that Moshe Rabbeinu first gives the people the words of rebuke. Like that, they will have a Hirur Tshuva. That even if there is somebody there that's evil, automatically he'll repent, and by his repentance will change his status from Rasha to a Tzaddik. Once they are not Rishoyim anymore, then Moshe Rabbeinu could teach him Torah. And that is exactly what he did. Mefarshim asks a question, how come it's so important for Moshe Rabbeinu now to translate and to explain the Torah? We know that Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah for 40 years. Then how come now, before his death, he decides again to explain the whole Torah, to give Mishneh Torah? Rabbeinu Bachya asks this question, and he answers that since the main Torah is the Ten Commandments, the Aseres Adibrois, because according to certain Mefarshim, all Taryag Mitzvahs, all 630 Mitzvahs are included in the Aseres Adibrois, in the Ten Statements, the Ten Commandments. And we know that there were a lot of children born in the desert that weren't present during the time of the Aseres Adibrois, and they all truly believed that the Ten Commandments, the Aseres Adibrois, are true. But we have a rule that it's not the same thing when you hear from somebody, when you hear from Moshe Rabbeinu himself, because hearing from Moshe Rabbeinu is like hearing from Hashem, because we know Shechina medaberes mitoch groino shel Moshe, that the Shechina speaks through Moshe Rabbeinu's throat. And we know this concept of Shechina medaberes mitoch groino shel Moshe, that the Shechina speaks through Moshe Rabbeinu's throat, from what Hashem tells Aharon and Miriam after the speak Loshon Hara on Bamidbar, chapter 12, pasuk number 8. There Hashem says, peh el peh, mouth to mouth, adaber boy, I speak in him. It doesn't say adaber imoy, I speak with him. It says adaber boy, I speak in him. So Mefarshim explain, what does it mean that Hashem speak mouth to mouth in Moshe? That when Moshe Rabbeinu speaks, really the Shekhinah is speaking. Therefore, since we wanted this new generation to hear the Ten Commandments again from the words of Moshe, which is equivalent to the Shekhinah, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu decides to repeat the Torah right before he goes to die. Like that, the maximum amount of new people are able to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. And this thought is actually brought down by Rashi on Yisro, chapter 19, pasuk 9, where there it says, Vayaget Moshe Zivrei Omel Hashem, that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke the words of the nation to Hashem, which Rashi brings down, that Hashem said that he is going to tell the Ten Commandments to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Aseres Dibros to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu told Hashem that the Jewish people said, Retzoinom Lishmoya Mimcha, that they want to hear directly from you, they don't want to hear from a messenger, they want directly to hear from Hashem. And Rashi says, why? Because Eino Doime Hashomea Mipi HaShaliach, because it is not equal, somebody who hears the message through the mouth of a messenger, LeShomeach Mipi HaMelech, to one who hears from the king himself. In other words, the Jewish people at that point didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to be the intermediary. They wanted to hear directly from Hashem, because it's much greater, the message becomes much stronger when you hear it directly from Hashem than when you hear it from Moshe Rabbeinu. And as a matter of fact, the first two commandments we heard from Hashem, the Gemara says that it stays established in our heart, and we always are moiser nefesh on it, we always willing to give our life for it, because we heard it directly from Hashem. Therefore, Rabbeinu Bachya says that Moshe Rabbeinu decided to repeat again the Ten Commandments in order that the young people should hear again the words like coming from Hashem. And even if you hold as certain Meforshim that say that the Dvarim was not the category of Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Groino Shel Moshe, that the Dvarim is different than all the other books of the Torah, that Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke those words by himself and Hashem told him later to write it down, but it wasn't in the same level as the Shechina speaking through Moshe Rabbeinu, we could still say the same answer of Rabbeinu Bachya using the same words of Rashi. Because Rashi there says that the reason that the Jewish people wanted to hear directly from Hashem, because Ein Adoim Shomea Mipi Shaliach LeShomea Mipi Melech, it's not equal when you listen from a messenger when you listen from a king. In other words, the message of the king is much more precise than when the message comes through a messenger. And we also know that Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert had the category of a king. Because the Gemara Masechta Zvachim Daf Kof Beis Omed Alef 102b brings down that Chomesh Smochois Hoiso Elisheva Yesera Abnois Yisrael, that Elisheva, the wife of Aharon, Elisheva, the wife of Aharon HaKohen, had five happiness more than any other Jewish woman. The first one, Yevama, her brother-in-law, in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu was Melech, was the king. Isha, her husband, was Aharon HaKohen, was the Kohen Gadol. Bna, her children, were Sgan, were the vice Kohen. Ben Bna, her grandchild, Pinchas, was Moshiach Melchama, was one anointed for the war. Ve'acheo, and her brother, which was Nachshon Ben Aminadov, Nasi Shevet, he was the leader of the tribe of Yehuda. But nonetheless, we see from this Gemara that Moshe Rabbeinu is a king. So according to this, we could say that we could use Rashi's word that Moshe Rabbeinu had to repeat the Torah again for the generation that came in, She'eino doima shomeya mipi shaliach, because it's not the same those who heard through their parents or through the messengers than shomeya mipi melech, that somebody who hears it directly from Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu gathered everybody again, and he repeated the whole Torah, because even though they were learning and they heard from their parents and from somebody else, it is not equal when you hear it from Moshe Rabbeinu, which is a king, than when you hear it from somebody else, which is either the Zakenim or your parents, because Moshe Rabbeinu's words are much more exact and precise. Sefer Shemeroish asks a question, how come Moshe Rabbeinu had again to interpret the Torah? And also, how come Moshe Rabbeinu is again rebuking the Jewish people, even though he already rebuked the people when they did the action? Based on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Dav Hei Omed Aleph. There, the Gemara brings the Pasuk in Devarim, chapter 5, Pasuk number 26. There, Moshe Rabbeinu is recounting the story of the Ten Commandments, where all the Jewish people heard directly from Hashem the first two commandments. And then the Jewish people asked that Moshe Rabbeinu speak and be the intermediary, because they were afraid to die. Hashem listened to their words, but Hashem made a statement, which is, Mi item vayolavavam zelohem, who the sure that their heart that they have to them will be with them, leyiro oisi, that they will fear me, velishmer es kol mitzvoisai, and they should keep all my mitzvahs, kol ayomim, all the days, lal ma'itav lohem, so it should be good for them, velivneyem, and for the children, leolam, forever. In other words, Hashem is wondering that now, that you are not listening from me directly, the Ten Commandments, who would assure that you are going to keep the mitzvahs that I command you? As we mentioned before, the first two commandments, since we received directly from Hashem, we heard directly Hashem's voice, those commandments became embedded in our heart, and we are always willing to sacrifice ourselves in order to sanctify Hashem's name for the love of Hashem. But the other commandments, which we did not hear directly from Hashem, we heard it from the intermediary of Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem is wondering, now that you heard it from an intermediary, who is going to assure that you are going to keep the other commandments, that you are going to fear Hashem? The Gemara says that the Jewish people should have been smart, and they should have said, Hashem, please, you assure for us. You could guarantee that we keep all the mitzvahs. You are the one that could make sure that we fear you and keep your commandments. But yet, the Jewish people did not say that. And Moshe Rabbeinu himself complains about that only after 40 years of the desert, even though Moshe Rabbeinu is recounting what Hashem said. But Moshe Rabbeinu is only complaining about what was said after 40 years. As the Gemara says, Af Moshe Rabbeinu lo rimzo lo am leYisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu did not tell the Jewish people Ero lachar aboyim shonim, only after the 40th year, because in the 40th year, as Moshe Rabbeinu says in Devarim chapter 29, pasuk number 3, Ve'enos Hashem lachem leiv lodas, Hashem did not give you a heart to understand, Ve'enayim lirois, and eyes to see, Ve'enayim lishmoya, and ears to hear, Ad hayom hazeh, until this day, which means that you did not understand what was mentioned until this day. Rashi there says that not only did the Jewish people not understand what Hashem told them, what hint Hashem was asking them to tell them, that Hashem was asking them to please say that Hashem, you be our assurance, that Moshe Rabbeinu himself also didn't understand that until this day, until 40 years after that statement. Therefore, the Gemara brings down, Omar Rabba, Rabba says, Shma Mina, from this, that Moshe Rabbeinu did not understand, and the Jewish people did not understand, what Hashem was telling them, you learn, Loikoyan Inish, Adata the Rabbi, Ad Arbaim Shnin, that a person cannot fully grasp what his Rabbi is thinking, what goes behind the actions, until 40 years. That only after 40 years did Moshe Rabbeinu understand that Hashem was giving him a hint that he should ask that Hashem be the assurance that we are going to fear and keep the commandments all the days. So from here we see that until 40 years, you don't grasp exactly what you are doing. That even though Hashem told them something, but took 40 years for Moshe Rabbeinu to understand. According to this, Sefer Shemen Roish explains that even though Moshe Rabbeinu had previously rebuked the Jewish people, every time they did an action which was wrong, Moshe Rabbeinu rebuked them. But Moshe Rabbeinu, after 40 years, realized that whatever he told them, they did not grasp the intensity of it, they did not grasp the gravity of it until after 40 years. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu decided to rebuke them again after 40 years, that even though he had previously rebuked them, but since now had passed 40 years, so now it's time to rebuke them again. In a way, the same way that we sometimes rebuke our children, which are 20, and they really don't grasp the full repercussions of what they do, the full wrong that they acted, until they become a child. So the same thing Moshe Rabbeinu thought, that the Jewish people did not grasp completely what they did wrong. And then Sefer Shemen Roish explains that according to this Gemara, according to this Rashi that says that Moshe Rabbeinu did not grasp completely what Hashem had told them, Moshe Rabbeinu decided if that's true, then I have to go over everything that I learned, because my Rabbi is Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu learned the whole Torah from Hashem and Mount Sinai. And since we say now that you do not fully grasp what your Rabbi says until 40 years, that means that even though Hashem taught me, I may have not fully grasped everything that Hashem wanted to tell me. The same way I didn't understand this statement until now, I may have not understood other statements of the Torah, other particulars, other things that Hashem hinted to me, I may have not understood. Therefore, on the 40th year, Moshe Rabbeinu decides, now it's time to review all my learning to make sure that I did not corrupt the transmission, that I gave exactly what Hashem wanted me to give, because now I could maybe fully understand what Hashem wanted me to transmit. Until now, I couldn't fully understand, because since it takes 40 years for you to understand what Hashem is saying, therefore, only now, after 40 years, I have again to repeat whatever was said. Other Mefarshim explain that the reason Moshe Rabbeinu had to repeat the Torah also in the same way as the Sefer Shemen Rosh, which is the same words of the Shara Simcha, that Moshe Rabbeinu thought that he didn't understand completely what Hashem was speaking to him until 40 years, but they say that Moshe Rabbeinu did not understand completely what Hashem told him for other reasons. They explain that the pasuk number 4 says that this took place acharei koiso esicho melech Amori, after he destroyed, he killed the king of Amori, ves oig melech Bashan, and oig the king of Bashan, be'evra yarden, in the other side of the Jordan, be'eretz Moav, right next to the land of Moab, or according to certain Mefarshim, the land of Moab, which was taken over by Sihon, which now belongs technically to the Bnei God of Bnei Reuven. Mefarshim are bothered, why does the Torah now have to tell me again that Moshe Rabbeinu won the war against Sihon and Oik? What has got to do with what we are talking about? There is no rebuke there, and there is no point in telling us this. Rashi has the same question, and Rashi answers that the point is that had Moshe Rabbeinu not conquered the land of Sihon and Oik, people would have not accepted his rebuke. They would have said, you're just criticizing us, but you can't do anything. You can't conquer anything. But now that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to conquer Sihon and Oik, now he has a right to criticize the Jewish people because everybody sees that he really could do whatever he sets out to do. But according to other Mefarshim, that is a connection why Moshe Rabbeinu is required to repeat the Torah again. And that is based on the Ramban, on Parshas Matos, Bamidbar, chapter 31, Pasuk number 23. There, the Ramban is asking a very important question. We know that we had the conquest of Sihon and Oik on Parshas Chukas. The end of Parshas Chukas tells you about Moshe Rabbeinu going to war against Sihon and afterwards going to war against Og. And here we have the war against Midian. And after the war against Midian, Elazar HaKohen tells you about the halachas of Giulei Kelim, that you require to kasher your dishes, that anything that was used for fire, you have to use fire to take out the absorption of non-kosher food that was inside, and all other laws of kashering. The Ramban asks a question, how come we don't see the laws of kashering after the war of Sihon and Oik? There we also conquered. We took over their cities. So how is it possible that there we don't have the laws of kashrus, and here we are required to have the laws of kashrus? So the Ramban explains that since Sihon and Oik are eventually going to become Eretz Israel, because Reuven and Gad are eventually going to take the portions of Sihon and Oik, and they're going to inherit as their inheritance, the lands of Sihon and Oik are destined to become Eretz Israel. And we know that the rule is, as the Gemara brings down in Chulin, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, there the Gemara says that the pasuk says that you will come to Eretz Israel and you will find Uvotim Meleim Kol Tuv. In Devarim chapter 6, Pasuk number 11 says you'll find houses full of all good. V'omar Rav Yehme Bar Abba Omar Rav. Rav Yehme Bar Abba says in the name of Rav, what does it mean you're going to find houses that full of all good? He says, Kosle de Chazira, that even ribs of pig, ribs of bacon, if you find, you're allowed to eat it. Comes out that during the war of conquest of Eretz Yisrael, whatever was going to be destined to be Eretz Yisrael, the laws of kashrus, the laws of prohibited food, were abolished. Therefore, there's no purpose for you to go kasher the dishes of Sihon and Oik, because you could even eat straight out pig if you find in those houses. Therefore, he says that land of Sihon and Oik are destined to be at Israel, the laws of kashrus are abolished, and we don't need the laws of kashering. But Midian, since it's not destined to be at Israel, therefore we are required to have the laws of kashrus for Midian. According to this Ramban, comes out that the lands of Sihon and Oik are destined to be at Israel. And the Gemara brings down in Baba Basra, Daf Kof Nun Ches Amud Beis, 158b, where there one Tana had one opinion before he went to Eretz Yisrael, and afterwards he changed his opinion after he got to Eretz Yisrael. Omar Rabzera says, Shmamina, from here you learn, Avira, the Eretz Yisrael Machkim, that the air of Eretz Yisrael makes you smart. So comes out, according to this, that the land of Eretz Yisrael causes your wisdom to be enhanced, and you understand things in a different way, in a better way. According to this, it's very good. Moshe Rabbeinu got to the lands of Sichon Ve'oik. He got to Eivor HaYarden. Eivor HaYarden is destined to be the land of Eretz Yisrael, like the Ramban said. And since it's destined to be the land of Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu realized that his wisdom is getting enhanced because Avira, the Eretz Yisrael Machkim, just breathing the air of Eretz Yisrael, already that makes you smart. Since the wisdom is getting enhanced, Moshe Rabbeinu decided, I better review whatever I had before, because since now I have a stronger wisdom, maybe I could interpret something in a different way, or maybe I have more to tell, a deeper level to tell the Jewish people of what they learned. So therefore, right now, in the 40th year, specifically after they conquered the land of Sichon and Og, now Moshe Rabbeinu decides to go ahead and Beyer as a Torah Zois, to interpret the Torah, because now he got a stronger wisdom. It could also be, even if you hold he doesn't have totally Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, but since now he's closer to the border of Eretz Yisrael, so he's getting some of the Avir of Eretz Yisrael, some of the air of Eretz Yisrael, so he realizes that his learning now is in a higher level, therefore he decided to go ahead and repeat the Torah again for the Jewish people. I just want to point out the Or HaChaim again, that the Or HaChaim explains that the Gemara brings down in Nedarim, Daf Lamed Ches Omed Aleph 38a, that Rav Shmuel, the Omre Traveyu, Rav Shmuel, both explain the same way, the Pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 8, Pasuk number 6, where it says, V'techasreyu me'at melokim, that you have made them a little bit less than godliness. What does it mean? That Chamishim Sharavino Nivra Boilom, there are 50 gates of wisdom in the world. Vekulom Nitnu LeMoshe, everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Choser Achas Bet One. In other words, one of the portals, one of the gates of wisdom, were not given to Moshe Rabbeinu. That Vatechasreyu Me'at Melokim, that Hashem made Moshe Rabbeinu a little bit less than godliness, means that Hashem withheld from Moshe Rabbeinu one of the gates of wisdom. So the Rachaim explains that the reason Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to achieve the 50 levels of wisdom is because he never merited to go into Eretz Yisrael. But had he merited to go into Eretz Yisrael, he would have gotten the 50 gates of wisdom. And the Rachaim says that nowadays, since we merited to go into Eretz Yisrael, we are able to achieve all the 50 levels of wisdom. Other Mefarshim explain that the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu told them now over the Torah is in the same reason that it's written in the Gemara in Tmura, Daf Tezayin Omed Aleph, 16a. There the Gemara brings down, Omar Rav Yudah Omar Rav, Rav Yudah says name of Rav. B'shoa sheniftar Moshe Rabbeinu leGan Eden, when Moshe Rabbeinu was about to go enter the Gan Eden, in other words, he was about to die, he told Yeshua, She'al mimeni kol sfeikus she'esh loch. Any doubt that you have in any Torah law, please ask me. In other words, since I'm about to die, if you have any questions, this is the last time you could ask me those questions. So go ahead, let me clarify to you any doubts that you have. Omar loy, Yeshua tells him, Rabbi, did I leave you for even one moment and go to another place? Meaning, did I miss any of your teaching? Didn't you testify yourself on the Torah? On Shmos chapter 33, Pasuk number 11. Didn't you tell me, Yeshua bin Nun, nar lo yomish mitoich ha'oil, that your servant Yeshua bin Nun, a lad, would not leave within the tent, meaning that Yeshua told Moshe Rabbeinu that everything you gave over, I know, I have no doubts, because everything you know, I know. The Gemara says, Miyat Tashash Koicha Shel Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu's strength waned. In other words, he was pained by Yeshua's response. V'nishtakhu mimenu shlosh meos alochos. And he forgot 300 alochos. V'noydi lo shva meos feikos. And he had 700 uncertainties that he did not know. In other words, Yeshua was punished because he caused Moshe Rabbeinu's pain, and Yeshua had 700 doubts in halacha. So we see that Moshe Rabbeinu, right before his death, was very careful to clarify any doubts, that he even went to Yeshua and asked, "Do you have any doubts? Please let me know." Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu cannot go to all Jewish people and ask, "Do you have any doubts?" Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, right before his death, he wanted that people should come and clarify their doubts, ask him the questions about their doubts. The only way that he could do it is gather them again and go over the whole Torah and tell them, please listen carefully and clarify any doubts that you may have and any questions that you have to ask me, because this is already the 40th year, and after these 37 days, I won't be around for you to ask me any more questions. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, right before his death, gave the people a last chance to clarify all their doubts. As a matter of fact, Sefer Igeres Atiul brings down that the letters Hoyil Moshe Be'er Es HaTorah, that Moshe Rabbeinu began to answer the Torah, the letters Hoyil, Hei Vav Ayin Yud Lamed, is the same letters as Eliyahu, the same letters as Eliyahu Anovi. And we know that every time the Talmud has a doubt, the Talmud ends that doubt, which cannot be resolved, with a teiku, with letter stand. But teiku, Meforshim brings down, is the acronym of Tishbi Yetaretz Kushyos Veboyes, that Eliyahu Anovi, which is Eliyahu Atishbi, he is going to answer all questions and all doubts. Meaning that Eliyahu is going to come and he is going to clarify our doubts. So according to this, it's very well, because Moshe Rabbeinu, the 40th year, Hoyil, he starts to translate this Torah, meaning that he's making sure that there won't need to be Eliyahu, because he wants right now to clarify all the doubts, but eventually it's going to be more doubts. Therefore, we're going to have a Hoyil, Eliyahu come and clarify all our doubts. I'll finish off with an interesting idea I saw in Sefer Pardes Yosef. Sefer Pardes Yosef first brings down that the Munkach Rebbe and the Babov Rebbe write down that every posuk in the Torah has something to do with what's going to happen in certain times. In truth, that is not such a foreign idea, because since we know that the Torah is a blueprint of creation, as the Medrash says, "Istakel boiraisa ubara alma," that Hashem looked in the Torah and He created the world by looking in the Torah. In other words, He used the Torah as a blueprint for the creation, for the world. Everything in creation has to be in the blueprint. And Sefer Koves Pri Temorim, he brings in length different things that happen to the world based on the order of the pasuk in the Torah. And there he brings down that this pasuk that says Be'er Yarden, Be'eretz Moav, in the land of Moab, Hoyil Moshe, Be'eretz HaTorah Zosloimer, Moshe Rabbeinu started interpreting the Torah, he makes a comment that this is the 4,895 pasuk since the Torah began. In other words, since the first pasuk of Bereshis, this is pasuk number 4,895. And he comments that the Rambam was born on the year 4,895. And he continues in his Sefer, says that this cannot be a mere coincidence. And he says that this is a Dovar Nifla, something wondrous, something that Hashem made it happen. Sefer Pardes Yosef continues and says, we know there's a famous saying about the Rambam that Mi Moshe ad Moshe lo kam k'moshe, that from Moshe Rabbeinu until the Rambam, who is called Moshe ben Maimon, lo kam k'moshe, there was nobody like Moshe. In other words, that the Rambam is almost as Moshe. Then we could understand this pasuk, that right at this time, Be'eva Yarden, Hoil Moshe Be'er as a Torah Zoy. Moshe started interpreting the Torah. It's alluding to not to Moshe Rabbeinu. This pasuk is alluding to the Rambam, which Rambam is going to translate, is going to interpret this Torah, as in fact he did. And when it says, Mi Moshe, Ad Moshe, like come, come Moshe, it's meant to say that from Moshe Rabbeinu, that he interpreted the Torah, until Rambam, that he interpreted the Torah, there was nobody that interpreted in the same way the Torah. And also, an interesting note, this pasuk is the preview of the Devarim, which is called Mishneh Torah, and the Rambam called this Chibur Mishneh Torah. And Hashem Yisbarach should help that since we're going through Mishneh Torah, and Moshe saw it so important that he has to repeat the whole Torah, we should at least make an effort to do Mishneh and to double the time that we spend learning. And as we said before, that before learning Torah, you're required to make tshuva. So Hashem should help that we should be able to repent and should increase our Torah learning. Like that, we'll merit to have Moshiach come, Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mheira b'yomeinu, Amen.